If you would turn, please, to Psalm 42. Several weeks ago, we started a series on the practice of prayer. And I'm just going to leave you with some thoughts tonight in regard to verse 2 of our passage that we have before us there. And I'm going to emphasize a method of praying, tonight as we continue in our series on the practice of prayer. Look at verse 2. Of Psalm 42. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You have there the desire of the psalmist's heart. I want to go back to Him in prayer. I want to talk to my Lord. That expresses a desire that is so foreign these days to our seemingly practice of prayer, where prayer has been reduced to a few little ditties at lunchtime or maybe for breakfast or maybe for the evening meal. And that's about the only time that people pray anymore. And that, of course, shows us how weak we really are, how very sadly weak we are in these days, that we cannot go to the Lord in prayer. We don't have a spirit of prayer. We don't have a concern for prayer that should be there. And I want you to see here, could you put yourself and put your name in that spot? My soul, not David's, but my soul thirsteth for God. Is that you? For the living God, when shall I come and appear before God? Could you put yourself honestly in that place and said, yes, that's describing me. I think most of us would say, I'm not what I ought to be. And so honestly, I don't have that kind of attitude and spirit that I ought to have when it comes to this matter of prayer. And the reason that we fail so in prayer is we've never developed a method of prayer. It's never been that serious enough. We developed a method for that. You know, we're working with the boys and girls, getting them ready for the Christmas program, and some children are very musical, other children are not. And some of them you have to kind of say, now you need to back off with your voice. We don't shout the words, we sing the words. You know, you got some of them, rah, 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 and it's just loud. You have to say, okay, I'm half deaf in this ear right here, and if I can hear it coming, I know that it's loud. And then I have some that I'm working with. We've got the brass group that we're working with, and I've got some instrumentalists that I'm working with. And you practice every day. Practice every day. Get together every day. And I walk into the practice room, and I know what I'm going to sound like, because I haven't been practicing like I should. I haven't been practicing the required time, and so I have to develop and get these chops back where they're supposed to be. And then I know what kind of tone quality I'm going to have, because I haven't been practicing, but with hours of practice through a method of practice, they start to build back up again. They start getting stronger again. It's a little bit easier to hit those high notes. It's a little bit easier to be able to move those fingers through faster passages because there's a method involved in rehearsing. Our children today, they went through all of their songs from memory. My high school, middle school girls went through their song from memory. And that was refreshing 2 weeks out from the Christmas program. I've had sometimes I said, Lord, we're going to have to put them up on a big screen, the words and a bouncing ball or something, you know, because it just did not seem like we were getting anywhere. And yet the Lord has been so good. And sometimes we practice without a piano. And those kids have picked it up. Chrissy was in here practicing one of the pieces, and they were all back eating lunch, and they started singing from memory. And they just started singing, and they sang along with her as she was playing the pieces she was practicing, you know. That's certainly, but it took practice every day, practicing, pulling them in there, going over the words, memorizing the notes. When do you rise? When do you fall? When does the volume get bigger? When does it get softer? Those are all things that have to be memorized, and there's a method that's involved with that. I've tried to teach a method to our high school students about memorization of Bible verses. It seems like it's getting harder and harder for kids to memorize Scripture these days. And the reason is we don't put the time into it. We wait till the night before. And we do this cram session And we come in here, and then all the words just kind of blur together. And we, I don't understand. I thought I had it memorized. Well, when you wait to the last minute and you cram, that's what's going to happen. We've all been there and done that, have we not? And so I tell them, I give them the verses. They've had them since the beginning of the year. And I said, you write them out, and you read them every morning when you get up. And then you read over them again at night. Go over the verses 5 times. And then when you get to Thursday night, you'll be so familiar with them, you'll be able to almost be able to share those verses. Why? There's a method behind that. As I get older, I have to have that method more. One of the girls came up to me, Mr. Brainerd, you missed one of the words today. And I said, only one? Praise the Lord. I started jumping up and down. I said, usually I miss a whole bunch more, but thank you. I said this instead of tis. And she caught it. She was sitting right up here in the front. Mr. Brainerd, you missed that. It's tis, not this. And I said, you're right. Congratulations. Yeah, I didn't get all bent out of shape because somebody corrected me. I needed to be reminded of that. You know, my brain's not like it used to be. I used to be able to remember all those things, but now sometimes I get them mixed up, you know, the older I get. And so repetition, 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 repetition. I want to tell you something about prayer. It requires repetition. It requires method. It means taking the time to pray. There's a method behind it. And if you don't develop that method, I'll share with you a method that Mel and Jan Wingrove do. He shared it with me when he was last here. Every morning, 6 o'clock, without fail, they pray over their scripture reading. They have a set scripture reading for that morning. They work their way through the Bible together, and they pray over every verse as they go through and pray. I've been talking about this method. I was refreshed whenever I heard that. I said, I've been starting to preach on this, about this method of praying the scriptures and allowing God to be able to teach you through the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. And so that's what they do. He says, we pray through the scriptures. Lord, what do you want us to know about this thought here? What is it that you want us to capture? What is the nugget of truth that you have for us, our food for today? So since they started doing that, they've been doing it for a number of years. They get up together and they do that. Since they started doing that, said the Lord's just undertaken and blessed in their life, and they've been able to find food. And say, even though we're slowing down and we're struggling with health problems and things, the Lord refreshes our soul every day. Why? Because they've got a method in place to study the Scriptures. And so I want to encourage you in this regard. We don't have a lot of time here, but I want to encourage you. I want to share with you a thought from a preacher back in the 1700s. His name was William Law. And this is what he said. When at any time, either reading the Scriptures or reading through material about the Scriptures, maybe a sermon, you meet with a passage that more than ordinary affects your mind, soul, and heart, and puts in place a new motion toward God, you should try to turn it into the form of a petition and then give it a place in your praying. By this means, you would often improve your prayers and store yourself with proper forms of making the desires of your heart known to God, because then they are saturated with what? The Scriptures. They're saturated with the Scriptures. Not self, not what I want, but rather what God desires for me to want. He's instructed me. He's taught me in His Word. And so I have that frame of heart. Lord, I want to do what You want to do. Lord, I want You to unfold Your will in my life. Not, Lord, bless this, bless that. I'm done. I'm out of here. It's not praying. It's not praying. We have a wrong concept of prayer. He goes on, if you were to collect the devotions, confessions, petitions, praises, resignations, and thanksgiving, which are scattered up and down the Psalms, and range them under proper headings as so much proper fuel for the flame of your own devotions, If your minds were often thus employed, sometimes meditating upon them, sometimes getting them by heart, and making them habitual as your own thoughts, how frequently would you pray as one who came prepared to pray? That thought has so struck my heart to show how incredibly terrible I am at praying. Most times I'm not prepared to pray. And that's shameful. It's shameful to have to say that, especially someone that's been saved since he was 14 years of age. So many things competing. And I know in my own heart and life, if it's a struggle for me, it must be a struggle for others. I don't know who, I don't know how many, but it must be a struggle for others. I know it was a struggle because this same man, William Law, wrote of the struggles of his own congregation in the 1700s. The struggle of his own congregation to pray willfully and purposefully, to be prepared to pray. Not only know how to pray, to be prepared to pray. And he said that only comes whenever you pray the Scriptures. In other words, you link your prayer time with the study of the Scriptures, whereby you seek God's face. I want to know, Lord, what you want me to know. Not what I think. How many times have we been? I remember so many times in prayer groups as a college student. Sometimes they go around the room, well, what do you think about this verse? Or what do you think about this verse? I've been to Sunday schools and whenever we've gone away on trips. But what do you think about this verse? And so-and-so gives their opinion. Isn't that nice? Sometimes they were insightful. Most times they didn't have a clue what the context was. It was just an off-the-cuff remark. All right? Listen, we need to get deeper into the Word of God if we're going to be beneficial to this world at this time in history. We're marching to the tomb. T-O-M-B. What are you doing in your march to the tomb or to the sound of the trumpet? Are you impacting the world around you, or are you just passing the days and hours till I finally die and leave this world? What a useless way to live. Wouldn't it be far better if we were making an impact for God? With our families, with our friends, with our workmates, with our co-laborers, that we were the ones that were able to encourage and strengthen those around us, because we have such a life, it won't happen. It will not happen until we get serious about praying, getting close to God so you hear His heartbeat. This is His heart. He left with every one of us His heart. This is what He wanted us to know. Are there other things that God knows that we don't know? Oh, John said, we would drain the ocean dry trying to record all the things that God knows. But He left us His heart. This is His heart word that He wanted us to know. And He left it for us to get into it, to study it, and to pray over it, that we might have understanding. And I'm afraid we're not doing it like we ought to. And as a result, we are weak and we are insignificant as far as making an impact. Like we talked about earlier about being salt and light. The more you study your Bible and the more you pray and connect those two together, praying the Scriptures, you will notice two things in your life. First of all, you'll be saltier, and you'll have more light to share. Many are walking around with a bushel over their light. They're not effective. I'll share this illustration. Walked up, I had put my Christmas lights up on the house. And I walked up, and sure enough, when you put icicles up, they never all stay on. It's a constant walk around the house and check every day. had a section out, 2 feet. I was rejoicing. I only have 2 feet out. I've got to find. So I started at the first bowl, wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Go to the next bowl, wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Finally, after going through the first foot, I come across and wiggled one. The whole thing came on. Now my first thing was, oh good, I fixed it. Yeah. I fixed it. The light's working. And I bumped the line as I was going down. Okay, they're hanging down. Bumped it. Off it went again. I said, nope, we're going to fix it. So I take it apart. And I replaced the bulb. And I put the little teeny tiny wires, you know, you can't see them. And you have to try to figure out how to get them back in there again. Plugged it in there. Everything worked except the bulb that I had just plugged in. Teeny tiny little glow. Just barely there. I said, what is up with this? I went through a second one, did the same thing. I guess it's the voltage or what, I don't know. But at least the other light, I've got that one bulb that's out on that little 2 foot section, the one that I plugged in to get the other ones to work. Now let me just ask you something. Let's make a spiritual application as we close here. How bright is our light? Are you like that little bulb that's just barely enough you can see? Oh, it's conducting electricity. But it's not putting out any light. Others around you are putting out light, but not you. Listen, do you want to change that? Get into the Word and pray it. Pray as you go through each line, each phrase. Sometimes articles, the Spirit speaketh expressly. The Spirit, who is that? It's speaking about a particular Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Speaketh expressly. Well, He's got something important to say. Every phrase and every word God's put in His book to strengthen you, it's His heart. And if you're not studying His heart, you will not know Him well enough to represent Him to a dark and dying world. Let's pray. Father in heaven, bless Your Word tonight. Lord, we're so weak and frail, but we have Your Holy Spirit, and we should be strong for Thee. I pray that You would forgive me for not praying as I ought. I pray that You would strengthen me to be a better prayer warrior for Thee, to know more about Thee and to study Your Word with a spirit of prayer so that I can know Your heartbeat and be an effective testimony for Thee. Lord, I know that if I struggle with it, there are others that do as well. So I pray that You'd strengthen Your people and that we'd get serious. We live in silly times. We have tragedy all around us and people are joking and laughing and carrying on like there's nothing serious going on around us, especially about spiritual things. Lord, I pray that we'd wake up and realize that You've put us here for a purpose. It's not to blow the minutes doing what we want to do, but it's using every minute for Thee. Lord, I pray that You'd work in our hearts and stir us up and make us truly people of the book who are prayer warriors in this time in history. Oh, how we need to pray. And oh, how we need to know Your heartbeat. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.